Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver on Remembrance Day in Vancouver, and it's Veterans Day in the U.S. So we salute our veterans for all their sacrifices and their hard work.
Yep, we do indeed.
Bob, yesterday the big news, the collapse of cryptocurrency, and the man behind one of the major exchanges, he was worth $30.4 billion going into this week, and now he's apparently lost 94% of his value. Bloomberg says that's the biggest drop they've ever seen a billionaire make. And I'm saying, well, at least he's got a few million left, and you're pointing out perhaps not.
Yeah, it sounds like he was totally dedicated to his game and highly speculative, made a vast fortune, and then in a couple of trading days, bang, gave it up. But if he was leveraged, and my guess is that it's quite likely that he was leveraged, he may not have anything left at all other than a huge debit in his margin account. But we don't know, and it might take a while before it comes out. Now, it's very difficult when you have created a hot object in the financial markets and you're promoting it and pushing it and all this sort of stuff. But you said that within this, he might have been paying off early investors in his scheme with later investors' money, which gets us to a Ponzi scheme. And the original guy, there was a guy called Ponzi in the early 1900s who did put together a scheme. But you always have to have a compelling story. And this was something to do with the difference between postal rates in different countries or something like that. But he was paying off new investors with old investors' money until it ran out, and then that's called a Ponzi scheme. So, Jim, we'll watch this one, the story, and the promoter with interest. See how it all comes out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, this CNBC headline that caught my eye, crypto peaked a year ago, investors have lost more than $2 trillion since.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll make $2 trillion hence.
Are doubtful. When these ones are over, they're over.
Now, some of the headlines that caught your attention today.
Yeah.
Hedge fund giant Elliott warns looming hyperinflation.
He's calling for that in U.S. dollar terms. And these guys get all chumped up about the evils of the Federal Reserve, which I agree, and that they're going to be able to depreciate the U.S. dollar at will, which historically they can't. But we want to get into hyperinflation, and that occurred often in lesser countries in South America, more recently like Zimbabwe and Africa. But to have it in a Northern Europe example was Germany in the early 1920s, when society was exhausted by the war. Their financial markets were trashed, and the central bank took to actually printing money. And you've seen images of people with literally wheelbarrows full of money to pay transactions. even in some factories, they would be paid in cash 3 times a day, and the workers would go out and immediately buy something with it, anything. So, but that then was Germany in the 1920s, where there was no credit market. But when you move to a senior economy with the financial center, England and then London, and more recently the U.S. and New York, in order to get to actual hyperinflation through hyperprinting, you would have to destroy the full credit markets. And you're looking at, well, I don't know, $20 trillion of U.S. credit markets. And just the disruption on the way down, and it would end, you know, it's just not going to happen. These guys who call for hyperinflation in the senior currency just haven't done their homework. And, for example, but then the hit to the bond market, recently, the long treasuries, you know, high grade stuff in U.S. and in London, their gilt market was the biggest panic, I take it, since 1796, when the threat was Napoleon was going to invade. So, let's just, these guys that are calling for hyperinflation in U.S. dollar terms have not done enough research.
Bob, isn't it true one of the reasons why they had hyperinflation in Weimar Germany during that era in the 1930s was that because the government didn't have enough printing presses, companies could print their own money for their employees?
I'm not aware of that, but they would have been using scrip. Yeah, that's what it's called, scrip, where they had alternatives. But, and that hyperinflation in Germany was 1922, 1923, and a long time ago. So, anyways, as I say, pundits in the United States that are calling for hyperinflation in U.S. dollar terms need to do some research.
Headline, Bank of England expects U.K. to fall into longest ever recession.
Yeah, no, that's an astonishing statement from the Bank of England, because typically when after a boom, the economy starts to falter a little, and they immediately come out and say, no recession in sight, or we have a soft landing. But I wrote a little piece on this one, Jim, and I think it relates to what we're talking about. The crash in the British bond market was horrendous, and part of the trouble was with rates so low, investment funds that buy bonds were enhancing their income by lending out the securities against creation of derivatives. And that then caused part of the problem. So, the Bank of England trading desk saw the biggest hit in decades and decades. And I said, myself being a historian, compared it to 1796 or whenever it was. So then the bank comes out in a state of shock, and I saw one article said that they had done some research back to 1920. That's inadequate. So anyways, I think it was the shock of the hit in the bond market where they jumped to the conclusion that it's going to be a long recession. Poor research, but the right conclusion. It's fascinating, this one. So, yep.
With this recession, some of the experts I talked to as they went into Brexit said, yeah, economically, this is going to hit England really hard for 3-4 years. But after that, economically, they'll be much better off than they would be if they were still connected directly to Europe.
Again, sounds that opinion hasn't done enough research. Post-bubble contractions have lasted typically for 20 years, with the usual 3-4 year business cycle coming and going, with weak recoveries and difficult recessions. So, and that's covering 300 years of history, whereas these guys are covering their opinion, and that it's somewhere after a hit, it's going to then go into sunshine and good times again. They haven't done the research.
The man whose first action as president was to cancel the XL pipeline, Alberta to Louisiana. Biden complains oil companies should be drilling more after vowing to end fossil fuels. He also wants a windfall tax on petroleum companies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It shows. But, you know, it's not Biden's senility that's doing this. They could have had Hillary Clinton in there, and it would be the exact same policies. The far left of the Democratic Party has gone crazy with ambition and will not quit until they lose in the polls. So it is astounding that the leader, president of the senior economy, is offering such idiotic comments. But hey, as I say, if Hillary Clinton had been in office, it would have been the same stuff.
The U.S. Northeast is hurtling towards a winter heating crisis. What? No natural gas in the U.S. of A?
They don't want pipelines. Like Eastern Canada, there are pipelines into Quebec and then extending into the Atlantic provinces where Irving's have substantial refining capacity. They still want to get their crude oil from dictatorships shipped up the pristine waters of the St. Lawrence or the Atlantic, and they don't want pipelines. And so it is amazing, the lobby against practical energy. It's been amazing, but I think the hardships in Northern Europe are even going to be more severe than in the eastern seaboard of both Canada and the United States. But here we are in Vancouver, British Columbia, where we have huge hydroelectrical power generally. There's not going to be any shortage. You're going to have to pay up for stuff, but like particularly for gasoline, but electricity, we won't suffer that. But where the governments have become completely faddish and have been against oil, coal, or natural gas-derived electricity, it's ironical, but they should suffer. And they should suffer enough that the ordinary citizen says, these guys are crazy, get them out. And I believe that will happen, that as the election processes continue, they will turf these idiots. So
we'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, we get to talk about zombies. even central banks are buying gold for the zombie apocalypse. What's the story there?
What a great headline. Now, there have been reports coming out by the World Gold Council, which is an assembly of an agency created by major gold producers and, to foster interest in gold. But I think some of their supply-demand numbers are probably pretty reliable, and central banks are buying gold. Now, this, I think, is reasonable, but I wouldn't expect it until you had a few years of gold's real price going up, and then people, research departments at central banks would sense that and say, oh, get me aboard. And they're buying before gold's real price has turned up. And I think it could be that they're looking at the amazing strength in the U.S. dollar. Now, central bank reserves should be strictly in very liquid items. And the most liquid items are less than 1 year treasuries, U.S. treasuries, and gold. So they're looking at the U.S. dollar, not understanding its strength is going to continue, and then avoiding that. So then I think it's by default that they're then buying gold because of its liquidity. But also they're doing the right thing, because gold as a reserve for a central bank acts as a counter-cyclical thing. Is at the top of a boom, they start to lose gold, so they raise interest rates, the boom then is over, and then at the bottom, gold real price goes up, and it starts to reliquify the system. So it's difficult to explain in a few words, but a currency gold-backed is really the superb and the best thing to have. And one, no matter how the central bankers got there in their reasoning, the end result is the right thing in buying gold for a reserve. Yep, yep.
My question, Bob, central bankers have the theory that interest rates have to be equal to or above inflation to bring inflation down. But I'm wondering, with debt bubbles being so high, both individually, corporately, and governmentally, do we really need to have interest rates match the rate of inflation to have an effect?
No, that's academic economist nonsense. The rate of interest goes up, the market rate of interest rates goes up in a boom, and the central bank has to follow and raise its administered rate, and then they have to find reasons to do it. But somewhere here in the next few months, the natural rise in the 3-month or 6-month treasury bill rate will end, and it'll head down, and then the Fed will then discover that it can lower the administered rate. So, no, the whole business about the Fed raising interest rates to kill inflation is totally absurd.
Headline: auto loan delinquencies rise as loan accommodation programs end.
Yeah. Remember, during COVID panics and shutdowns, there were various governments were kind of helping out people in continuing their car payments. But, hey, that's changing. And used car prices got exceptionally high, and they have been coming down. And it reminds me of ages ago, 60s or 70s, 80s, where to bring an interesting car, say a collector's car, from the U.S. into Canada with all kinds of taxes and tariffs and stuff on it. But that was eased at some point. But it originally went back to 1934, where car dealers in Canada did not want to have very cheap cars coming in from the States. So that's where that law went all the way back to the previous depression. So anyways, there's always something interesting out there, isn't there, Jim?
Headline: China's super rich see fortunes plunge as economy slows.
Oh, yeah. Again, the people with money, serious money at the top, if they're not leveraged, they still have serious money on the way down. And it'll be interesting to see, like, something like Musk with his dealings in Tesla and in Twitter and stuff like that, how this guy's going to make out on it, because he took on, what, $42 billion essentially at the top of the market. So things like this are going to be interesting to watch.
Now, of course, Musk wants to bring Twitter into profit. It's never made money, and he spent a fortune buying it. He laid off half his staff automatically, and then found out, you know, a lot of those people were pretty important, because you didn't pick and choose the best or the most necessary. You just made it a blanket layoff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a danger for people like that?
Yeah.
Charging in without taking a look?
Twitter was an agency of authoritarian government, and it's quite interesting to see that it's getting hit. Perhaps it can be reformed to being just straight a flow of information rather than controlled opinion. And, Jim, it'll be interesting to follow.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Oh, hey, anytime. And as hey, we always got their Friday morning open, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.